Stand by for record.
On the top of the ranch, you see it?
Top of the ranch.
And the pineapple guava.
Oh.
And it's crazy too, like they always lately have just been like flying around these trees and then just sitting there. Like you don't often see a hummingbird that's not humming.
Lost a clog in the mud, like the mud just completely sucked off. I am Gear of the Ram though, in the tiny zodiac. Is this Don Giovanni? And he was like, why do you know that? And I was like, oh, well, like, I have the readings, but I'm also gonna play cello.
You're listening to Popcorn Forest Podcast. Episode number 6. With Desiree Lynn Sterling.
Timber offers some form of reprieve.
Part 1.
Can I go off script?
Of course.
Okay, I have a poem.
Do you want to say your name for the podcast?
My name is Desiree. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll, I am the captain of my fate. I am the master of my soul. It's called Invictus by William Ernest Henley. Desiree Lynn Sterock. Desiree Lynn Sterock. I'm Desiree. Desiree Lynn Sterock. Is that enough time?
No, I don't think so. Can we get a few more readings?
This was like the thing that carried me through Poetry Cup in Great Book Summer Camp. In seventh grade, we like had our poetry unit, and we didn't actually like have to memorize the poem, but I did because I was like, "This is the best thing ever," and it stuck with me.
That's and it's a Saturday. We're going to talk to Desiree, heading south-ish, after getting off of the Arinda BART stop. This is the sound of St. Mary's College. Good morning!
It came to you then in the Poetry Cup, in that season of camp? Or was that the first time you encountered it?
No, it was in seventh grade when I first found it. It was like part of our like required poetry unit. And just for some reason, like our school just like always chose this poem. And I think in like previous years they had to memorize it, but we didn't have to. But I remember reading it and just being like, this is so good and I love it. And so I memorized it and recited it for like the next 3 years at the Poetry Cup. This whole spot, it's a native garden mostly now, like those little kind of guys that are just popping up, but it all used to be like just insane muddy blackberry bush that was so thorny. And
Jesus.
Like one of the first projects that we did was just tear it out, and there were just like thorns all in our gloves. My friend, so not my best friend Sophia, a different Sophia, who since like moved to Vermont and works on a flower farm.
Oh, whoa.
I know, she's awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah, she's awesome. She lost a clog in the mud. Like, the mud just completely sucked it off.
Oh, it's gone.
It's gone.
Not, like,
it's
lost.
Like,
and
it's gone, like, just, yeah, decomposing slowly. Probably around here.
Somewhere in the mud, there's a clog. There's a clog.
Clog in the mud. Long gone. The gravel was put in last year. it used to just be, like, kind of treacherous. It still is kind of treacherous, but in a good way.
Treacherous in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Here at St. Mary's. Hello.
Last year I was, like, very spread thin and very frazzled and, like, just overworking everything. But I think I've been doing a better job and will continue to do a better job. And I'm excited for my projects. It'll be good.
Excited in a way that's different than being excited before?
Yeah. I think it's, like, I'm excited to have it feel like a project that I, like, is me and, like, feels so genuine. Like, I think a lot of the things that I've done at St. Mary's before have felt like... like, it's been something that I'm doing, but it's not necessarily, like, me at my, like, core. Yeah. Which, obviously, like, you know, that's a hard thing to try and, like, do.
Have a project that's close to your core?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, maybe not. Maybe it isn't, but...
At a college or in life?
In both, I think. Like, maybe, like, at this age, too, like, everybody's kind of figuring out what they want to do, and nobody really knows, so you're just kind of, I mean, for me, it feels like I was just kind of trying everything, and now I'm like, oh, I like this, like, I'll stick with this, and it feels like that is kind of, like, coming, like, I'm coming to an understanding about that now, which is nice.
Do you talk to your teachers about this sometimes? Like, do you ever ask your teachers, are you figuring it out still?
Yeah. I think especially with, like, teachers that I really like and, like, respect, I'm like, how did you get here? Like, figure out that you like this and, like what? I don't know. Just, like a good brain picking is necessary sometimes.
A good brain picking for a teacher you like.
Yeah. Like, I feel like I really did that with Johnny. At APC, I was like, tell me about, like, everything that you've ever done, and, like, why.
Yes.
Yeah.
I also have a similar curiosity around wanting to know all of Johnny's life.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Also, just because, like, when, I mean, farming is already kind of, like, a unusual...
Mm-hmm.
Like, statistically, like, distributed career that is around, like, 1-2% of the population.
Yeah.
So you're already kind of
in
like a niche field.
Yeah.
I thought for a moment that you had a professor named Johnny, which, in an abstract sense, you did.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. No, it's funny, though. We were talking about, like, projects. And, like, being known but not really knowing people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a strange thing. Like, there's a poster. I did summer research a couple years ago on, like, atmospheric air pollution stuff. I hated it.
I remember briefly talking to you about hating this.
Yeah. It was just... Like, it was cool. I really liked, like, part of it was going up in nature and, like, hiking and putting in, like, batteries for air monitors. That was the cool part. But just, like, the sitting in the lab and, like, crunching numbers all day was not fun for me. But they, like, St. Mary's wrote an article about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, about me and, like, my interests and that.
With a picture of you at Alameda?
It was, like, a picture of me, like, overlooking a park with, like, a clipboard. They just gave me a clipboard, and they were like, pose with this. And I was like, okay.
I think I saw that picture of you.
Yeah.
Because you were wearing a dress?
Yeah.
I kind of interrupted your story.
Yeah, but it's just, like, one of those things. Like, it just kind of is immortalized. Like, they printed it out and, like, stuck it on a bulletin board. And, like, my research paper's in the science building. And I'm just kind of like, wow, this is crazy. Like, crazy that people can see that I did that. And also I did that. Like, it just feels funny to me. And, like, I'll be in class and somebody will be like, oh, like, I've, like, read that or, like, seen you around. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, that's so weird. Being perceived as crazy.
I really like this section over
here. Okay. Oh yay. I'll pick one from this section. All right. Do you think that other mammals dissociate?
That is such a good question, because I feel like lately, like, when I've been dissociating, it feels like it's, like, tied in with... I feel like we talked about this earlier, but, like, the whole, like, what even is reality and, like, like... I don't know. Like, tapping into a more, like, spiritual reality. So sometimes I'm like, maybe humans are the only ones that dissociate and like freak out about that, because we're the only ones that aren't always like living in that. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe other animals don't have to dissociate because they're constantly just like in like equilibrium between, I don't know, their reality.
One thing that I wanted to clarify when you said that is, in that, like, animals are not experiencing, like, a spirituality and that, like, may, it'd be, like, a qualitative difference compared to other animals versus humans that are, like, trying to, like, balance these, like, multiple ways of like having layered reality. Is I feel like I'm still kind of summarizing what you're saying in a way that's not authentic to what you're saying, but
I think that like humans are humans are having to balance between having like the human, or not the human, but like I don't want to say like a built up weird like society reality versus like a spiritual reality, but other animals maybe don't have to deal with that because their like built up strange like animal behavior is all like authentic to what it means to just be them. But I feel like sometimes with humans, maybe like what humans have built up to be like our reality isn't necessarily like authentic to what it means at its core to be human.
Oh.
And therefore to like be like spiritual.
So, like, what other kinds of relationships is it possible for us as humans to have, like, with reality? And what would society look like then if we were like, what's it like? I feel like my way of summarizing kind of what you're saying, and please kind of tell me if I'm mis-summarizing, is it like, what have we designed or created in like human societies and cultures that has like limited our ability to like be expressive as a species in a way that's like something about like the core of like what it means to be a human?
Mm-hmm.
And that would mean that like there, that in your statement is sort of like a possibility of like there could be other societies that are different, that like allow for a different kind of like emergence of like relationships, or I mean it's hard to get the language on it, and but I want to let you say more.
Yeah, well, okay. I was doing this reading for seminar like yesterday. It was a Freud reading, which was funny, but like one of the things he was talking about, he was saying that like basically humans are like, I don't know, have like lived in a very like Western and like this whole thing, like we built a way of living that isn't necessarily like I don't know, like in tune with mammalness or like spiritness, whatever, any of that. And he was saying that like the most, or I guess like the least amount of ego like a human can ever have is when they're in love with somebody. And I thought that was so interesting because I was like, I feel like if you're just kind of like tapped into like, I don't know, like a well of empathy, then like that feeling is there always. Like, I think you're always able to like recognize that things outside of you exist and, like, have their own things and, like, purposes, or not even purposes, but just, like, way of being. I don't know. I feel like I'm on a tangent here, and that connected back to something.
We were talking about, like, do mammals dissociate humans in society, and, like, humans have to, like, what I was hearing you say is that humans have to deal with, like, the issue of, like, interfacing with society, which I think of, like, you have to go to, like, the bank, mm-hmm. and you have to, like, pay your taxes, and you have to, like, order from a menu. Mm-hmm. There's, like, a lot of actions that we take to get our basic needs met in ways that are similar to other animals that, like, whales don't have a Luckies.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's, like, and that we have to use our brains to, like, take care of those actions. But that it's, like, a different way of being in the world than maybe other animals be, where they don't have that, have to have, like, that part of their brain. Like, there's no, I mean, they still have to think about what's right immediate and when in front of them. Is that kind of what you were getting at?
Yeah.
When, like, you talked about kind of two ways of,
I think if we were all, like, hunting and gathering, then nobody would be dissociating. If we were all naked and, like, hunting and gathering and, like, had small villages, like, like, just came out of, like, ape form, then maybe no one would dissociate.
What's the anthropology on dissociation?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Would, like, but that this idea that, like, the closer we are to, like, being a hunter-gatherer, or, like, the more in, like, the more that, like, our intimate day-to-day life is, like, coordinated in, like, direct kind of, like, encounters with nature, the more, like, the less dissociated as a species we'd likely to be.
Perhaps.
Or it could be a question mm-hmm. to explore.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe this is just my specific, like, answer. Maybe if I, just me personally, like, if I was just in nature more, if I was more hunter-gatherer.
Like a self-inquiry.
Maybe.
Or, like, self.
Like, me as an extension of, like, my understanding of all humans. Like, if everybody works the way that I do, potentially this is the answer.
What is being in nature like for you?
It's just, I don't know. It's just so lovely. It's very calming and grounding, but also, like, energetic at the same time. And I feel like my most, like, mental clarity comes from when I'm in a space like this, or, like walking, or, yeah, walking around in, like, a nature-y space, or just, like, being in one in general. Like, I feel like I'm always just, I don't know, like, able to sort of work through some of the things that, like, get stuck in my head. I don't know, like, the good answers come out of being in nature, and also just, like, comfort. Like, it's just pleasant and enjoyable.
Can we hear an example of, like, a good answer that's come now or in the last 4 years, or on any walk you ever took?
I'm, like, struggling to think of a specific question that I've had that I've, like, needed an answer for, but I think with, like, creative things, every time that I am, like, I have this thing that I need to get out, like, it's in there somewhere, like, I have to get it out somewhere, I'll go on a walk, and, like, I don't know, like, things will just flow from you. Like, I've taken my cello up here a couple times and been able to, like, write something or, like, play something that just feels like something that I was already, like, something that I was
feeling in my head, and now I'm like just able to get out. And like, yeah, that's times when I'm like in nature feeling relaxed and just like, yeah, things just come to you easier.
I'm imagining the cello tracks. We don't have like a like if there were an AI here, I don't even want to say like, cause like you could in theory just have your cello, but even then it would like totally derail the conversation. But I wish there was a way I could hear the, but it's also kind of like in a way beautiful that's like, but that was just your experience that like you had. And like, there's a party that's like, what about just experiences that are meant for just like party of one kind of a thing?
Mm.
I wonder if like, like when you think back on that experience of like that, or like answer, like that, like feeling of like being able to like express the music that was like formerly in your mind, that it was special, and that how did the experience of like experiencing that alone, like how was that have a different quality than like versus if you had been with other people?
Mm. I think I like tend to struggle with like what does it mean to like authentically like create things. And I think sometimes when I'm just like out on my own and something comes to me, like that's when it feels like most necessary to like think about and like create, because it like I know that it's just me almost. Like I know that it is something that I just like am feeling and like want to get out almost, and like I'm not doing it for any other reason other than like I feel like I need to. And I feel like sometimes when you're like working on some sort of like creative project with other people, it can kind of get tricky of like, oh, do I want this because like this is cool, or like because I want to impress these people, or do I want this because I genuinely like have this strong desire and like need to like make this.
And then when you have the like the experience of just having like the creative connection alone, there's like a clarity and like this is like coming from me in like an authentic way that like you can know for yourself, or like you can feel. Or I want to get back to some of those questions, but I'm also curious to ask you about like the relationship between like thinking and feeling, and like how does that kind of like sit in with what you're talking about here with like, because in my head I'm like, oh, but like being nature is like so much about trying to like feel like that you're in nature, not just like think things about it.
Yeah, I don't know, that's a good question, because I feel like I'm big on feeling and also on thinking. And like, I don't know, I think very definitely big on feeling. Like, I think I have giant, like, oceans of feelings, and it's crazy and can be so, like, overwhelming and scary sometimes. But also, I think I'm gotten really good at, like, understanding them and, like, I don't know, making it make sense a little bit, which I think is helpful with, like, creativity a little bit. But I don't know. I don't know if there's, like, supposed to be a balance between those. I feel like I don't know, either of them happen and then they just kind of happen. I don't know.
I'm just thinking about like how you can never really be inside someone's mind, and so I'm like, oh, I could like ask you like, what is it like to be on a walk in nature? You could answer, and like in some way I could maybe understand a bit, and I'd also be like, I still really don't.
yeah, I don't know. It feels nice. I don't know. It's hard to like describe also just like feelings into words. We talked about that also. Like, I don't know.
I've got two parallel questions. One is like, what do you think language is good for? And then one from here is, what's in your fridge?
What do I think like
she's good at? I don't know. Like, that's so, I feel like you take it so granted so much when you're just like in a space and getting to see all these people and you're like, oh hi, like I love you, you're the best, and then suddenly they're just gone. But change is a crazy thing. There's lots of eucalyptus trees around here.
It smells really wonderful. It's one of my top 25 smells.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would put Christmas trees above it.
Yeah.
I do love a good eucalyptus.
Yeah.
Eucalyptus oil.
Yeah, they're nice. Somebody, there was like a team of East Bay Mud people near the BART station the other day that was like hacking a eucalyptus tree. It was sad, but it smelled so good. Which is a really freakish thing to say.
It was perfuming the whole area.
It was. Yeah. Poor tree.
I wonder what your I can't even remember. I want to say it was like your aunt or your grandma who was about touching the trees.
Oh yeah, my great aunt.
Your great aunt?
Aunt Lil.
I wonder what she would say about like the BART tree.
Oh, she probably would be sad.
I mean, I grew up like going to church a little bit, but I was never like super like, I don't know, like religiously inclined by anything really. But I remember I went to a lot of funerals growing up. Like my family just is kind of older, and so like there were there were a lot of like distant relatives that I would just be like, okay, like this is happening, and lots of like also music, like they would be like, oh, like can you play at this funeral, and so I did a lot of that. And I think one of them was my aunt Lil, and like in one of the stories that somebody was saying about her, they were saying that she, like, taught them when she was a kid how to, like, feel the energy of trees and just, like, feel, like, he was, like, saying, like, start with your hands and you can just, like, feel, like, energy and, like, your hand energy, basically, and, like, all of your hands and, like, what it feels like to have hands, basically. And I remember, like, coming home after that and sitting by my favorite tree in this park. We used to live, like, in across from this park. And I went to my favorite tree, and I was like, oh, yeah, like, I get this. Like, this is cool. And so stuff like that. But, yeah, my best friend is super spiritual, and she, it's, I don't know, like, all of
Sophia?
Yes, or? Yeah. And so it's been nice, like, living with her. We had to do this also, because St. Mary's is a religious school.
Gonna ask you about that, like, mm-hmm. if you had a religious background or if that was at all connected with like being here. I Mm-mm. kind of assume not, because I think we had briefly talked about that maybe at the farm sometime.
Yeah, no, I like it's a Catholic school. I have never been Catholic, but yeah, and like never been again like strictly religious, but I think like a lot of my family leans towards like spirituality, like not anything like adhering like to strict anything, but just sort of like everybody's like, yeah, like there's higher powers, like there's a thing out there, nobody gets it, and like nobody's pretending to get it, but it's still there basically. And last year Sophia and I were in a well, separately, she was in a class that was, like, the second... You have to take two religious classes at St. Mary's, and one is, like, the Bible and its interpretation, and it's just, like, reading the Bible as literature, basically. And the second one is, like, anything. Like, they just offer so many different ones. And she was in one that was, like, gender and spirituality, or, like, gender and religion, I think was what it was. And one of the tasks, like the midterms, finals, whatever, was going to a church that was like not a church that you'd ever been to. And she
invited me to come with, and we went to this place. It's like a spiritualist church in Oakland, and they just give you readings, basically. And so that has been pretty cool. We don't go, like, every week, but we will go, and their readings are just, I don't know, it's just crazy. Like, it's one of those things where I'm like, wow, like, this is just crazy that some people are just, you know, attuned to this sort of thing. Yeah, it's special. Yeah, my dad also, he is a pretty, he's like, he and I have both had strange things happen to us where we're like kind of locked in, like we're kind of something similar, like, well, I don't know, we're just kind of like, just weird things happen, like coincidental things where it's like not really a coincidence, just kind of strange, and like spiritual. And he got a reading a long time ago, and this I think was one of his first things where he was like, oh, like, you know, the world is strange and like things happen that are unexplainable. And he, his like one of his really close like mentors and friends who had actually introduced my mom and my dad together, her name was Sharla, she had recently passed, and he got a reading from a woman who just like basically in depth like described Sharla to him and like told him all of these things. And he, it was just kind of like this crazy like pivotal kind of moment for him. And then later his best friend passed away, and things between like his best friend, he, like my dad, his best friend, and then his best friend's wife, like strange things would happen to my dad and his wife where it was like my dad would be like, you know, driving, and like Jim was his name, like Jim's favorite song would like come on the radio, and he would like look at the time and it was his birthday, or he would like call Donna and it would happen to be like his birthday same time or whatever. And like I think there was one time where that like the song came on, he called Donna, Donna was like, this is crazy, like this is the first time that I'd like looked in Jim's closet, and like the first time that I've been in there since he passed away, and also like the time is his birthday. Like, something, it's just things, like, related to that, where it's, like, this is interesting. Like, this is quite interesting. Things like that happen.
Like, triggers that, well, I was gonna say, like, that curiosity or, like, hairs on the neck feeling, but I didn't want to, like, necessarily introduce kind of, like, a spooky component, but more just, like, that kind of like questioning that's like around things that you can't necessarily get like a, there's no like Google that you can look up and be like, oh, you know, is, are these like, our, is this convergences of these events, like can you tell me how to make sense of like these events that like as a human you like look at them and like, you know, can't necessarily always just like write everything off, or like maybe don't even feel inclined to like write things off, like there's a curiosity there.
And it's interesting, like I feel like spirituality and just like religion in general, like so much of it is like, if you believe it, it's true. Like if you believe in anything,
sure,
it's true. Like if you, if manifesting, like if you say something and you believe it, it will happen. Like that's just, you know,
I'm sure there's a book out there of just collections of like people's strange experiences.
Yeah And I feel like one of the things that I've been like thinking and talking about a lot in like my like spirituality, I also took a spirituality and religion class, and something we talked about a lot was just like how it is so tricky to like have a relationship to spirituality when you're living in such like modern and like Western times that just are so quick to like kind of diminish any like experience like that at all, and like automatically be like, that's crazy, or like that's just not rooted in like reality. And I don't know, like I feel like humans have like, I don't know, it's so like we operate so differently from like any other animal, but when you think about it, like we're really just animals, and like just because we have like all of this like infrastructure and weird stuff doesn't mean that, like, we're not still connected to, like, anything, you know?
Yeah. Humans, 100%.
Yeah, my great aunt.
Your great aunt?
Aunt Lil.
I wonder what she would say about, like, that, the bark tree.
Oh, she probably would be sad. The bark tree. This is funny.
Maybe the... What?
This tree branch that's, like, opened this little patch of... I feel like they cleared this area. I think there used to be more trees around, which is kind of sad. This is the nice statue of the Virgin Mary. I don't know who bedazzled her.
That was what caught my eye. You don't usually see a bedazzled plaque.
It's kind of crazy. I actually don't think I've ever seen a bedazzled plaque. There's a journal around here. Oh. People write.
There's some steamy love notes in here.
Oh. There she is.
Will you read one entry that whose handwriting sample you most find captivating?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Came with my mom and healed. I don't know why it's green wax.
I wonder if one point there were crayons in there that melted from the hot day.
Yeah, maybe. That looks like that's what happened.
Or is it cupcake frosting?
Ooh. Do you want to try?
I'd love to sample it. You didn't take me literally, which I both love and does it have any food vibes?
I don't think so. No lingering. No, that's very crayon.
Okay. It's got a real wax.
A real wax vibe going.
Smells good in a way.
It does.
I like that kind of paraffin kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The circle of flowers.
Yeah.
I think there's a groundskeeper that has a house around over there.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
How far is... Do you know kind of where it is?
Mm-hmm.
Can we see the house?
Mm-hmm. It's either the groundskeeper or just, like, maybe I made that up. Maybe it's just somebody who, like, lives and... I don't really know. Has a house nearby.
And when they go to town and people ask, where do you live, they say...
Past the Virgin Lady statue. Sometimes during the summer, they will, like, release goats and fence them in so that they can graze and, like... potentially stop fires from happening.
Hmm.
That's always fun.
Have you connected with any goats?
No. I am Year of the Ram, though, in the Chinese zodiac.
When you get your fortune, or no, they don't have any fortunes. They just have it on the placemats. That's the main place I see the, what, find out what zodiac year you are.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is the horse. My dad is the pig. My sister is the dragon. And I am the sheep.
It can be a sheep or a ram?
I think so.
Okay.
Honestly, maybe not. Maybe it's just a ram. I also don't really know the difference between a sheep and a ram, honestly.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how interested are you in a mini episode just about the history of the Chinese zodiac?
Like, and 1 billion.
Wow, really? What a... had no way of anticipating that. Is it an Americanization the way that, like, fortune cookies are a little bit of, like, an Americanization, or, like, Mandarin orange chicken, or what's the how did it get translated into American culture?
That is a good question. I don't know, because it is, like, it has its, like genuine roots in something, in things. I don't know why it has become, like, a fixture in America. That is a really interesting question.
It could be like a companion episode to, like, astrology in America versus like zodiac signs.
Yeah, maybe that's it too. I don't really know. Yeah, I don't know where astrology has stems.
Ooh, that is seriously why isn't that? Why don't I know? Who do we ask?
Who do we ask?
The history of astrology.
I don't know. But maybe it's just because, like, astrology got big or something, or westernized, and then people were like, oh yeah, there's also this thing that's kind of similar, but not exactly.
But there's animals.
Yeah. And they can be personified. Doesn't that sound genius? Oh, I think this is it.
Will you describe it for people who aren't here?
There is a blue New Holland tractor looking thing, and lots of tools and some trash cans, and it is overlooking a cliff that is not treacherous at all. It smells fresh and a little bit of eucalyptus, but mostly just like trees and like brush. And there's lots of leaves on the ground, and they're like kind of this beautiful pink, and they're kind of like cascading also on the hill that makes it look like it's wearing like a little carpet, which is fun. Yeah, lots of trees, probably some poison oak, but we don't have to think about that. I've never been this far before.
Oh, whoa.
The last time I was here, that was, like, impossible to get all the way through. So somebody has been doing some work over here. I have no idea where this is. It's quite peaceful. I wonder if the Newt Pond is around here.
Text your professor.
Where the Newt Pond at?
What do I think, like, which is good for? I feel like there's so many ways to understand people and understand, like, what people think and how they think it. And, like, language is an important part of that. But also it's not, like, the, like, definitive answer. Like, I think you can... I don't know. I think you can find out and, like, understand people in a lot of different ways. And language is just kind of on the surface for that. But then also there's, like writings. And I think writing is such, like, a... I don't know, interesting form of self-expression. Because it is, like... there's not really a lot of room for interpretation when it is what it says it is. Like, there's obviously writing where there's not, like, necessarily a message or, like, a strong sort of, like, this is what you should get out of this. And that's like, you know, when it's, you can interpret it and you can like create your own meaning. But then there's also writing that's like, this is exactly what I'm telling you, and this is exactly what I'm like trying to tell you, and exactly what you're getting. And I don't know, it's like, I feel like that's a hard thing to sort of replicate. And yeah, I don't know. I was reading like a Claire Lispector book. I think it's called Agua Viver or something, maybe similar to that. And it's just like these really intense, this intense writing that's just basically her being like, I'm writing to you and trying to get at like the purest form of what it means to write to you, like in the now, and like, what does all of this mean, and like how I'm like creating this stuff and writing this stuff, and it's like similar to a painting, but it's a writing, and it's like, this is what it's doing basically. And it's just, I don't know, it's just, yeah, I don't think it's necessarily like my favorite. Maybe not favorite, I don't know. I don't think it's my like self-expression of choice to write exactly what I am like feeling and exactly what I want other people to understand. Like I think I do better when there's like, I don't know, a bit more like fluidity with it. And I feel like I haven't captured like the essence of how to like write something and make it so fluid. But maybe one day.
When you say like, when you're comparing like writing versus and like other forms of expression, that would be like playing music, making music, photography, what else comes, like animation, and those like allow for like this fluidity that is something that like is personally appealing to you.
Yeah, and I think like that's why I kind of gravitate towards poetry sometimes, is because like that fluidity still feel like it's still kind of there, but also I am like, I like it when there's not like, obviously like there's a meaning in it for me, but I like it when maybe like the meaning isn't almost like that direct. And I feel like with writing, it can so like, it can just be super direct sometimes. Like I can just say exactly what I mean and you can like understand that. But I think the thing for me is like, can you like feel that? Like I want you to be able to feel exactly what I'm like putting into this. I don't want to like just have it written there and have you read it and like be like, oh yeah, like I understand that, I've been there. Like I want you to feel what it feels to like need to put that into writing almost.
And something about like getting accessing like the layer of like feelings and other people in a way that's like authentic is like that's something that you care about and something that you think about and have like experiences about. It seems like in my head I'm like such a tricky business, because they're like, oh, we're like talking about like in some ways like kind of touching the core of people, and it's like, how do you take that seriously? Because it sounds like, you know, like the core is the place where shit can get so fucked up like easily, and you're like, oh, you, like how do you not become a dark wizard? Dark wizard on the cello.
yeah I mean, I don't know, I guess I am lucky and haven't had to like feel like I've had to process anything. Well, I think a lot of the times, like, my aim in, like, creating things is like, making people feel, but also, I feel like, to the extent of the things that I've also felt. Like, I have never been in a place where I've been like, oh, I feel like such intense anger about this thing and need somebody else to feel the same exact thing that I feel about this. Like, I think the most thing I've ever felt that I'm like, I want somebody to understand this is probably just like sadness. And I don't think that that's a terrible thing.
I don't think so either. So what is in your fridge?
Like, 2 leeks from the ABC Garden from, like, 3 weeks ago.
I never thought I would get so excited about an answer, but...
like, a kind of old container of, like, herbed mozzarella cheese balls because I wanted to make pizza also, like, 2 weeks ago. I haven't done a restock in a little. I've been commandeering the crisper in, like, the bottom left corner. And there's, like, definitely probably, like, 3 old cucumbers also from the APC Garden. They gave me a bonus box, like, 2 bonus boxes the last week I was there. And I just, like, did not... It was not wise about using all of it. So it's just kind
those poor cucumbers.
Like, definitely they're like probably floppy and like yeah, 2 leeks mozzarella. I think there's like a half drunk bottle of kombucha in the side pocket. I share a fridge with 2 other of my roommates, so I have the very top shelf and then the crisper.
Oh, okay. I was like, what about the crisper? I thought that was integral.
The crisper's kind of like joint share, but also I was like, you guys please eat any of this, and nobody did.
No one was down for the cukes.
Oh, God, you guys. Like, come on.
I thought so just the availability of cucumbers in the crisper was not enough to
no,
become
maybe
a cucumber salad.
Maybe it's because they're lemon cucumbers. Maybe people are afraid of their yellowness.
I like that doesn't fit into my knowledge
definition
of what
of
a
cucumbers.
Typical.
Yeah.
I did hear a podcast where people were talking about that specific thing as like food producers for a food hub, which is funny that they were saying like, oh yeah, if you send yellow cucumbers to like a shipper. Like a middleman who's then like distributing it to Vons or something, like they'll just throw your cucumbers out and not pay you. Cause they're like,
what is
this? This isn't match spec. Yeah. And you're like, oh wow.
Oh, that's
like
sad.
A messy, messy business trying
those
to grow
cucumbers.
Food. Yeah. You're like, shit.
I think I'm missing something.
Oh,
in my fridge.
Are there any condiments?
I hate condiments.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Deep cuts.
Yeah.
Tell us more.
Okay, this has an origin in actually a deep cut. When I was 4, I got really bad pneumonia, and I was in the hospital for like 2 weeks. I missed Christmas. They brought Santa in, and they gave me like a purple plastic like Barbie unicorn, and I was like, this is the best thing ever, like this is amazing. But I was like terribly ill, and I like lost like 25% of my body weight, something insane, and or maybe like 15, I don't know, something bad though. And they would have to
medically significant,
yeah, they would have to feed me like pudding that was just like filled with vitamins. And it was, like, the most horrendous thing ever. Like, you could just... It was, like, just... I don't know. Texture, it was just bad. Like, you could taste the vitamin-ness. And I just hated it. And so, like, that whole consistency just, like, has been ingrained in my head forever. So I really can't do anything, like, creamy and, like, viscous.
And condiments are truly
creamy and
occupy that category,
yeah.
To a T.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking relish. I was like, it's still pretty viscous.
I can do like vinaigrettes.
Okay.
That's not bad anymore. I've conquered that one. Thank you. Pesto is great. Like anything oil based is fine. Okay. Mostly. It's just like as soon as there's like a little like egg or like cream,
How about peanut butter? Just
I do love peanut butter.
That
it's peanut butter safe.
Doesn't ring condiment. Mm. It's too dense still.
Yeah.
Okay. But like a peanut butter dipping sauce.
I do that, but that's just because I like peanut butter.
Okay, okay. It's like rock, paper, scissors, and peanut butter beats condiment texture.
In. Yeah, yeah.
So no condiments in there.
I mean, there's condiments in there, but they're my roommates. They're not my condiments. Not my condiments.
Condiments to be avoided.
Yeah. That's the scary shelf. I don't go over there. I stick to my CRISPR and my floppy cucumbers.
Yeah. The way things ought to be.
Yeah.
Will your brain like be thinking about this on autopilot at all? The hidden ingredients in the fridge while we move on to other questions? Is this?
I don't think so.
Is that how your brain works?
I think it's one and done. I'll move on. It's fine. It's in the past.
When you get home, you'll see it.
Like, oh, duh. My cake.
But that makes me think of like when you put your keys down and they're like, oh where God. Are my keys? And you're like, I literally just put my
keys. Genuinely like so forgetful. I bought cookies from Trader Joe's the other day and I got home. I had put them in like this shelf, the pantry shelf. And Sophia, like maybe like 5 hours after this had all happened, was like, oh, where are the cookies? And I was like, what cookies? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. She's like, are you serious? And I was like, dude, I never made cookies. Like, I don't know what you're on. And she's like, you literally bought like cookies today. And I was like, oh yeah, I did do that. And then I opened the shelf and sure enough, they were there. I have a really, really bad memory.
It's so striking because you're like doing so many things in the world that it's like, I guess I find it personally inspiring that I'm like, oh, see, there's room for everything and all kinds of like skill sets and they can all come together in a unique way.
Yeah. Sophia and I were talking about this yesterday. We had a really good discussion and then we were talking about like little things that each other does that like kind of annoys the other person. Oh. Just like as roommates, pretty much like the not serious one. We were talking about the serious ones too, but we were like laughing about the not serious ones. And she was like, you put your laptop on the ground. And I was like, yeah, I do put my laptop on the ground. And she was like, you like put mugs and like cups on your bed that just like eventually will fall on your bed. Like it hasn't, none of it's happened yet, but I like kind of just live precariously and like am messy and forgetful and like lose my keys all the time. Like just, it's a mess.
But your cello is well cared for.
My cello is well cared for. Yeah.
How does it have a different relationship than your keys or your mugs?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. Like, if somebody broke my key, I would be like, oh, okay. Oh, well. Like, you know, not the end of the world. I don't know. Like, that cello is like a living thing. Like, that is like a full-on like entity, and as soon like I like no harm can, I don't know, I'm the first owner of it also, and that's a big responsibility. Like I have to take care of it. Nothing's ever happened to it other than like me. So a little bit's happened to it, like some scrapes, but I don't know, like musical instruments always kind of just like they're special. I hate like the sound if anybody like drops or like puts a musical instrument on the ground and like all the strings are kind of like,
I was thinking about like everything is always like a Sims simulator in my head, but in my Sims simulator, like that's against the law. Uh-huh. Like, you're like, we don't do that here because we've had a town meeting about that. Mm-hmm. We don't treat our So putting an instrument on the ground versus a cup on the ground.
So different.
shockingly common news, but also there can be a lot of like revelatory discussion around why that is.
Mm-hmm.
Are you chill about like your embodying the world and living in the world with like having like certain kinds of forgetfulness? And what's your relationship with like knowing that about yourself?
I'm super chill with it. And a lot of it, like, I feel like a lot of people, if they're like, oh, I forgot my keys, now I'm locked out of the house for like 5 hours, people will get mad at that and like be like, oh, that ruined my day. I've gotten to a point where I'm just like, you know, if that happens, like, that's on me. And, like, that's just, like, I just have to live with that. There was this one time last year where all of my roommates were out at a basketball game at St. Mary's, and I didn't want to go because I was tired. And I was like, I'm going to get back, like, at, like, 7 or 8. I had, like, a late-night chamber rehearsal, so I had my cello with me. I had my school stuff, whatever. I was like, I'm going to get back to my apartment. I'm going to go to bed early. I'm going to, like, practice a little bit, and then I'm going to go to bed. It's going to be great. I get to my apartment. It's, like, drizzling. I get there. I'm like, I don't have my keys. Like, what am I going to do? And I, like, knocked on my next-door neighbor because they also went to St. Mary's. I was like, Raphael, are you home? Nobody was home. Nobody was home next door. I was like, great. Okay, well, you know, my friends are at this basketball game. I don't want to go, like, do the trek back to St. Mary's. I'm gonna camp out in the laundry room with my cello and practice in the laundry room for like 3 hours until my roommates come home at like 12, and then just go in with them. And that's exactly what I did, and it was great. It was so fun. I like talked to a new neighbor and like explained what had happened, and it was funny. He was like, do you want anything? I was like, no, it's cool, like, I'm just over here. I learned like a new song. It was really fun.
Man, the keys like gave way to like a new possibility.
Exactly.
And how was the reverb in the laundry room?
Oh my gosh, incredible. So incredible. It was lovely. It was great. And also it was so fun because I'm like kind of a shy, like when it comes to singing, I am shy about it. Because that is, like playing is one thing, but singing, that's, like, that's actually you. Like, obviously, it's you when you're playing, but it's, like, a little bit removed. And because the laundry room was a little bit loud and, like, there were laundry cycles going, I was like, this is great. I can learn this new song and also sing. And I can just sing at a normal volume because it's already kind of loud in here. So that was really cool, too.
Whenever the machinery at my work goes on and it's like really loud, I get excited because I like amp up my singing amplitude just a little bit because I'm like, oh, no one will notice right now. And it's a very bizarre like moment of self-awareness. But
I like that.
It's also cool. You're like, I'm like, it makes me happy to know that you had like a moment of feeling like comfortability around like both like musicality of your body and musicality with the cello.
Mm-hmm. It was Waters of March. Mm-hmm.
Is the new song
that was the it was like a I really like the Art Garfunkel version of the song, but I was learning that.
I really appreciate that you just brought that up. Oftentimes when I go back and listen to these, I'm like, fuck, why didn't you you get that detail? But Waters of March. Maybe stupid question, but written originally for cello or?
It was like a Portuguese jazz standard by Antonio Carlos Obim, I think. And then Art Garfunkel, a lot of people did covers, but Art Garfunkel did a cover, and I just think it's weird and cool, and I like it.
Huh. That's cool that 3 hours can, like, encapsulate a whole experience like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a really beautiful story. I feel like it was a movie in...
My life is a movie.
my life is a movie. Is that Justin? I think that's Justin. I think he's got a song where he says, like, my life is a movie is a lyric. deep cuts from...
from some Justin.
I'll have to get back to you on that. Who has touched your heart?
Mm-hmm. So many people. My family. I think, like, relationships have always been a very important thing to me. Like, I find a lot of self-discovery and, like, growth from any type of relationship that's, like, important. And so friendships and, like, close romantic relationships, a lot of ones where it's, like, it's not a guarantee that this person will love you forever, but you're still going for it and you're still willing to, like, pour everything into it is scary, but also, like, the most magical thing ever. And I've been really lucky to, like, be able to have a lot of those not a lot, but a fair amount of those experiences. And I'm, like, wowed by them.
How wowed? Wowed in with what particular flavor or absence of condiment?
Oh my gosh. Just, like, like a golden syrup. I don't know, just wowed in a beautiful way.
Like, makes me want to ask, what is beauty?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I don't know if it can be described coherently by words. I don't know. Something really nice.
maybe there should be like established subjects or established questions that are like words will not words will not yield here.
Mm-hmm.
I've never thought about it quite in that way, but I like to ask questions like that where I'm like, I'm not really sure there's an answer here, but it's fun to talk about, like, why is beauty cool?
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, what's beautiful to each person?
Mm-hmm. I think that everything is beautiful. Like, I genuinely, I don't know. I think that you can find beauty in everything. And I think I like to do that and, like to focus on that. I think it makes life better and more fun. Doesn't mean that, like, we're not still connected to, like, anything, you know?
Yeah. Humans 100% mammals.
Mm-hmm.
That's I think there's a lot that can be, like, that lens can be very informative in terms of, like, when people talk about, like, our relationship as a species, like, to one another and to, like, the other mammals, like, it's bizarre in that, like, in some ways we're, like, operating in, like, a very different way, but we're also, like, still, like, ultimately just kind of, like, I don't want to be reductionist when I say that we're ultimately still following a pattern of, like, other biological organisms, because I don't think that there's anything, like, wrong with, like, being an organism that's, like, part of a life cycle, like, it being a mammal,
because
that's what humans are, and yet it's also, like, somehow seems to be, like, almost like an ideological, like, camp of, like, here's how humans are, and these are, like, our world of thoughts, and then somehow it seems sometimes separated from, like, here's how humans are, is just like a group of mammals trying to survive in the world, and lots of different opinions about like what all of that means.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, and I'm not sure where I was trying to go with that other than to just respond, but and I think I got a little bit waylaid away from your comment.
I had a strange spiritual experience. The first one that I can like firmly just be like, I have no idea what happened, and like none of it is explainable, yet I know it is also real, and I know that it happened. This one time, it was in my parents' house in Southern California. I woke up at like 3-4 in the morning, the witching hour. And I wake up, I'm laying there, and like this like just orb of light like comes out of my chest and is hovering above me, and I was just like, this is weird. But there was like, it wasn't, I think in like moments like that, like it's very, I was like, oh, I could be scared about this, but also like this doesn't feel scary, like I don't know, it's just kind of something that's happening. And it flew like above my chest, was hovering there, and then just went out my window. And like, I was so awake, like I was awake, and it was just like, I was like, oh, like that was very strange and like very unexplainable and just, you know, something that happened. And then I just went to bed and was like, okay, I think that was weird.
And then the experience is like now something that you can recall, and like as you like live each day, you can like continue with each day to look back on the experience and like try to make sense of it, or like see how the rest of your life can it like inform that experience in some way, or maybe a more open question, like how do you continue to reflect on that mm-hmm. experience, like as your life goes by?
Mm-hmm. I think for a while I just didn't think about it, and I was like, that was weird, like yeah. that didn't happen, like I don't know, something must have like something strange
slipped you some drugs in your
yeah.
your dinner,
yeah, like I don't know, that wasn't, I don't know, like I just didn't think about it for a while. But recently strange things happened, and then I have just been like reflecting in general, like a lot about like what were the things that I thought about as a kid, and like kind of what was like, I don't know, things that I saw or like things that I felt that I've since like kind of just pushed under a little bit, and like do those, like what does that mean basically. So yeah, I don't know, we'll see.
We'll see you in 2 weeks for part 2.